Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Father, we give you the adoration. Be glorified, be honored, be adored. Breathe upon this service today. Let not one person live here the same. In Jesus' precious name, give the Lord a big clap as you take your seat. Please be seated. Welcome everyone here this morning in the precious name of Jesus. What an awesome weekend. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Nations worship that it actually made a lot of waves within this nation and around the world. And congratulations for the end of the 21-day fast. The end of this fast is the beginning of your speed. In the name of Jesus. You cannot fast like that and end slow. You cannot fast and be slow. Hallelujah. This morning, very, very important subject we shall be looking at, and it is dimensions of dedication. Dimensions of dedication. This is part one. Our objective this morning is to understand the various departments or the various dimensions where our dedication to God is measured. Understanding the various dimensions of our spiritual life where our dedication to God can be measured. What is it that makes a person active? Or rather, makes a person to be considered a really dedicated child of God? What is it that makes us to know that someone loves God? Is it church attendance? It may be a part of it. A young lady testified the other day. I would like to know the details of the testimony because I'm not able to remember the full details. Where she said they were doing a checklist and marking before she was delivered from the COVID or witchcraft or something. Church attendance marked. Service marked. Evangelism. No, so they marked many things. And as they did that checklist, she was released. So I believe that there is a marking that happens for us in the presence of God. When somebody says, I am dedicated to God, I am committed to God, what are the things that heaven will look out for? I am going to look at seven of them in this service. And I will look at seven others in the next service. I believe that it's going to be broad enough to cover many areas. What are the measures of our dedication? Number one, personal devotional life of prayer and word study. Personal devotional life of prayer and study of the word. A person who is dedicated to God, who loves God, who lives for God, on a personal basis, must have a prayer life. On a personal basis, must have a Bible study life. Genesis 19 and in verse 27, we saw Abraham, the dedicated, got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord in prayer. Psalm 55, verse 17. We see David, the dedicated, evening, morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Dedication at the place of prayer, evening, noon, night. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. As a child of God, your personal life of prayer is not negotiable. The study of the word in Job chapter 23 and in verse 12. He said, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. I am not thinking of eating in the morning until I've eaten the word in one form or the other. Matthew chapter 4 and in verse 4, say, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And here you are in Acts chapter 17 verse 11. He told us of the Christians in Berea. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. They searched the scriptures daily. You don't consider yourself dedicated to God if you don't understand personal devotional life on your own, nobody following you up, to pray and study the word. Number two, is God glorifying or God-pleasing lifestyle? God glorifying. You may put in bracket, God-pleasing lifestyle is a measure of your dedication to God. You are concerned about glorifying God with your life. Like we sang in those days, Jesus must be honored, must be honored, must be honored. Jesus must be honored in my life. Every day, my Savior must be honored, must be honored, must be honored. Jesus must be honored in my life every day. A God glorifying life. Matthew chapter 4, verse 14. Matthew 5 and in verse 14. He said, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Verse 16 said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. In other words, your life should not bring shame to God. It shouldn't bring pain to God. But pleasure. In the place where you live, where you walk, in your family where you have come from, people should be able to look at you and confirm that you are not fake. You are not pretending. You know, in some places of work, you people behave and they say, and you call yourself a Christian. The unbelieving world don't have a Bible to read. Even if they have it, they don't read it. The Christian is their Bible. They read you. Is God speaking to anybody here at all? You can't claim to be a Christian without being concerned about what people think about your life. You can't claim so. You can't claim to be a Christian without being concerned as to whether people think you are glorifying God or not. You can't. First Peter chapter 2 verse 9. It says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You have to show his praise, to live to bring him glory. So what people think of you matter to you. In Matthew chapter 16 verse 13, Jesus began to ask his disciples when they came to Caesarea Philippi, who do men say that I am? What are people saying about me? What do they think about my spiritual life? Do they think I am real? Do they think I am genuine? And they said to him, yes, some say you are Elijah. Some say you are Jeremiah. Some say you are one of the prophets. And he was okay with that. Because what they were describing him with was close to who he was. He was a prophet. If they had said, some say you are Cain. Some say you are Absalom. If they had been calling some terrible names, they would have been uncomfortable. But they were calling names of who he was. Question you have to ask yourself is, the people around you, what do they think about you? It's a proof of your dedication. How does your wife feel about you? That is, I am the man of the house. What does she think about your spiritual life? Yes. What about your children? What about your driver? What about your domestic staff, your cook? Then your classmates, then your work colleagues at the office. If all these people don't think you are of God, you are not. Because the closest people to you are the people who can confirm who you are, what you are. The other day my children were telling me, you are showing us practically how God the Father loves. Effortlessly. You are just showing how God loves people. That's what you are showing to us. It's a God glorifying lifestyle. Number three, soul winning lifestyle. Every child of God has a mandate to tell people about God. If somebody claims to be a Christian, a dedicated child of God, and has never talked to anybody about God, something is wrong. John chapter 15 verse 16. He said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it unto you. Part of your assignment, Jesus seemed to be saying, for part of your life as a child of God is that you should go and bring forth fruit and ensure your fruit remain. In Mark chapter 16 verse 15, he said, after he resurrected, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe. And so on and so forth. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. He said, But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The Christian man or woman who cannot tell others about their faith in God, something is wrong with the reality of that faith. As simple as it is to invite somebody to meet, to experience God, to know God, there are those who can't do that. When we grew up in the Lord, almost everybody behaved like a pastor. I mean, you didn't need to be. When you didn't consider yourself well-dressed without tracks in your pocket, evangelism flyers, in fact, if you sat inside in the late 70s, early 80s, you sat inside a vehicle and you didn't preach inside, it was as if you sinned. Morning cry was like water. This girl here, little girl here, Dr. Becky, Sister Becky, very tiny in those days, standing in front of hostel, preaching to everybody, standing inside university bus. That was normal lifestyle. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? If we want to see the results of the Bible, we must return to the practices of the Bible. People can share all manner of videos. In fact, there is someone who shares, keeps sending me some videos, and I'm wondering, does this person have a job at all? They can share all manner of things. What's up? Somebody is joking, they are sharing. And they will never share their faith in God. They will never share a link that can change a person's life. They find it more convenient to share things that does not impact people's eternal destiny. Evangelism lifestyle is proof number 3 of a person's dedication. Number 4, prayer for the shepherd. Prayer for the shepherd. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18 to 19. Dedicated people are concerned about the spiritual state of the one they follow. 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all things, and then for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. He was talking to the Corinthian church. Pray for me. Let God give me utterance. Let me speak the right word, the word in season. The right word. That utterance may be given to me. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1 to 2, look at what Paul, the apostle, is saying. Finally, brethren, pray for us, me and our colleagues in ministry, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. Pray for us also, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. You took the passage away. Because not all men have faith. That we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. That is Paul the apostle saying. As I am on this assignment of ministry, there are people who hate my guts. In 1 Corinthians 16 and in verse 9. He gives a reason why that prayer is very important for him. For a great door, an effectual, the door of nations, the door of ministry is open to me, and there are many adversaries. A real. If you are going to the restaurant to eat, you must be interested in the hygiene and the health state of the caterer. Am I communicating? These days, they do all manner of tests. Tuberculosis tests, they do HIV screening, they do hepatitis and all of that for a restaurant operator to be sure that they are serving food that is not defiled. When you are about to be taken on a flight, you must know the state of the pilot. He's not hypertensive. God forbid that he has stroke while flying. Are you following what I'm saying here today? In the same manner, under the Spirit, Lord, let your oil, let your hand rest on your servant like never before. Draw him close to yourself. Help him never to miss road or misfire. D.L. Moody had a ministry that was so impactful. One day he saw a vision where they were lined up with people from his ministry and they were about to receive gifts from heaven. He was a very explosive evangelist. And they were giving gifts, and the biggest gift was not given to him. It was given to a woman under his ministry. And he asked the Lord, what's happening here? And the Lord told him, he said, you remember the time when you noticed a shift in the power of your preaching? This woman was responsible. He said, this woman prayed to me until I released power on you. So while everybody was seeing the powerful man of God, God was seeing the one behind that power. After today, I would like you to do this checklist and ask yourself, am I doing this? Am I doing that? Today, people are very quick to criticize the pastor. He didn't preach well. He's not powerful. He's not this. When was the last time? You lifted him up. And when somebody is at the forefront of battle, there are all manner of forces from hell to ensure that you're overwhelmed. Hallelujah. Prayer for the shepherd. Number 5 is passion for the house. The house of the Lord. Passion for the house of the Lord. Addiction to the house. Every dedicated child of God is a church person. Church person. Church. Psalm 122 and in verse 1. The Bible said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. If you are not glad to go to the house of the Lord, something is wrong. Psalm 27 and in verse 4. He said, one thing have I desired of the Lord. That was David the dedicated speaking. That will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 10 and in verse 25, he said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Since I met the Lord, staying at home or doing any other thing on Sunday morning is more like an abomination. The body is not traveling while service is on. For me, it's impossible. That I'm on the road and people are in church. No other day to travel. At least minimum, I could travel after the service. Am I communicating at all? If there is no, see, there is an attraction. The house of your friend is a place you are addicted to. People go home all the time when it is Christmas time. Most people, some people, to their father's house, to their village community and so on. There is that attachment. And the house of your friend is never too far. Anywhere your friend's house is, your father's house is, your mother's house is, no matter how bad the road is, you get there. That is how it is with the house of the Lord. I was glad. No manner of contract is big enough to take you from church. No contract. No money pursuit is big enough. The contract signing can wait till after service. If truly we are to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. One man, they said to him, there is a contract to be signed. In those days, I think it was even in a military establishment. He told them, he said, I'm sorry, I am in church now. Really? Can't you come? No. I'm doing our churches in construction. Area 1 church construction there. And I am unable to come. He said, all right, we'll see you later. You know what they did? They brought the paper to him on church site. That if you are dedicated enough to God, and they say there is money, come and sign for your contract, and you cannot come, and you are saying you can't come now, it means you are too genuine to be avoided. They brought the thing to him on church site. I was glad when they say, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let your dedication come to the point where when people are thinking of where to look for you, if they think of house and think of office, that is when you are meant to be at home and when you are meant to be at the office. The next place to think of is church. Go to church, you will find them. Somebody say loud amen. Go to their church, you will find them. I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say aloud, amen. Is anybody getting anything out of here this morning? Lift up your right and say, Father, I receive fresh grace for addiction to the house of the Lord. And let me give you a caution. Don't let this modern day internet, social media, online, don't let it destroy your spirituality. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion physically appeareth before the Lord. Psalm 84 verse 7. Not appeareth before the iPad. Not appeareth before the TV. Not appeareth before the computer. Appeareth before the Lord. Appear. Appear means you arrived. There is one that they call online. That is online prayer in the night. That one is defined. But when you are meant to be seated, there are people I'm talking to now, they are at home. They are listening, they are watching me right now. In Abuja here. In Lugbe here. They are watching now as I'm talking. That is, they cannot inconvenience themselves. Let them cross their leg on their chair and be watching television. I'm preaching this on taking note and drinking tea. How do you want God to take your life serious? How brutally serious some of us has been with God is the reason why we see some glorious things we can't testify about. Let me tell you something. There was a time in my life where I was seeing so much out of this scripture. And when I came to church, it looks like the person preaching wasn't saying so much. You know, you just scratch it for like 10 minutes and I almost was not getting fed. That was almost enough to keep me back from church. But it was impossible to stay back. So what I will do, I will come to the church and sit down. When you say our passage of today is so and so, I will take that passage. And then begin to jot notes from the passage by the help of the Holy Spirit. I will be receiving insight inside the church from the word. The organ may think it was what he was saying that I was writing. But the Holy Ghost was expanding the same passage for me beyond what he was saying. So I was not dry. I achieved the attendance of church and then also got light from church. There are young people today who are off the church. They call all manner of school of the Holy Ghost. All manner. All of us are priests. Sit at home and teach yourself. Before you know it, they just get destroyed. That will never be your portion. There is addiction to the house. Lift up your right hand and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I receive the grace to be addicted to your house. I'm going to round off very, very quickly. Passion for the house of the Lord. That was number 5. Number 6, and then we'll go to number 7. Number 6 is the lifestyle of giving. The lifestyle of giving. And that giving begins with the fighting. Genesis 8:22. It said, while the earth remains seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. The lifestyle of giving. Every dedicated child of God, put it like this, every lover is a giver. Anywhere they claim there is love and there is no giving, it is fake. I love my wife, but I'm hiding my money. Fake. Leviticus chapter 27 verse 30. It said, and all the tithe of the land, whether it's of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is of the Lord. Begins with the tithe. Genesis chapter 14 verse 18 to 20. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him the tithes of all. Malachi chapter 3 verse 10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me herewith, says the Lord, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 7. Hear, men that die. Okay, without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. Verse 8. And hear, men that die receive tithes. But there he received them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. He received tithe there. Till today, he is still receiving tithe. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 to 7. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 7. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Finally, Philippians chapter 4, verse 15. He said, now brethren, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Every dedicated child, genuinely dedicated, is a giver, giver, giver. Beginning with title, giver. One day I traveled. Before I came back, my wife had attended a program. We were not pastors yet, we were just still young medical doctors. Before I came back, she has given away my cloth and given other things in a service where they preach sacrifice. She gave our cloth. When I came, I said, what happened? He said, it was the service. I said, what happened? Why did you give it? He said, the preaching was too touching. And gave away. That is our life. From then till now till tomorrow. Empty the account. Cloth is not a testimony today. Okay? And when you see us dress, don't think that they are spending so much money on cloth. It's flowing. It's flowing. Somebody say, the shoe I gave to you, you have not, I've been watching your leg to see whether you wore it. I say, okay, I'm so sorry. I'm going to look for it. I will check to see where the shoe is, because there are shoes that may have been there for 5 years. Whose carton has not been opened. You understand what I'm saying? I can't be going to look for shoe to buy now. I am sold out doing other things. And God took care of that one. There are things you cannot say so that people will not misunderstand things. If I was a kind of person, it is easy to open a shoe shop from gift of shoe. Don't hear that one. One day I gave out about 200 suits to our pastors as mantles. Not that I went to market to buy. And their wives also, the equivalent of it. Because the seed of it was sown years ago. Do you understand what I'm saying? There are some people, the way their hand is as if they applied aradite. Super glue. Akadom. That is with them and God. It's easier to put IV line on the back of the tortoise. The way they are with God. There are those who can fast for 21 days, 7 days, no food. But when it comes to giving, challenge. Beloved, your dedication is confirmable by your liberality towards God. It's given. Finally, how do you prove Your dedication. Love for the brethren. This, I believe, will be number 7 for this service. Love for the brethren. Every dedicated child of God is a lover of the children of God. There is no way you claim to love me and hate my children. It's not possible. If you hate my children and you claim to love me, you are a suspect. You hate my wife, you claim to love me. No. Every love for God flows to God's children. Your commitment to God is your commitment to His own. Some of the things we do is not because we are very, very eager to spend time and waste energy and waste everything. After now, we are coming back for the break of fast. After the break of fast, commanding the day and the night. Listen, you can travel and say, oh, let me to go and do 1 week somewhere, 2 weeks. Holiday in Dubai, holiday in Paris, holiday in America, Hawaii. All right, write application to the church authority. Can you give me 3 weeks leave? Do you understand? But here you are praying, here you are preaching, here you are fasting, here you are doing everything, not to show anything. But you love God and you love His people. If I ever had a sleepless night, it is people's problem. If I ever, I am such a very rugged person, shedding tears under normal circumstances, outside church, I can count in the whole life since I was born, to my notice, whether I have shed tears personally up to 5 times. For any reason. My mother saw me crying on the television one day during worship. She started crying at home. He said, this man that nothing makes him to cry. What is making him to cry? What is that? I can count. That is count. Okay. Something made me to cry in life. I can count it. He's here, he can testify. From beginning to now. He's saying that now that I used to laugh 3 times before night. You understand? That is how rugged I was. So you see me, somebody is testifying, I'm crying. Until my nose is blocked. My wife is giving me a handkerchief. I say, how many people are passing through this kind of problem worldwide? And this is only one person that has just been helped. How do we help all the people? Do you understand what I'm saying? And that is happening. So, because the love of God that you have translated into love for His people. Translated into love for His people. Let's look at the scriptures and then we shall be closing because of time. John chapter 13, verse 34 to verse 35. John 13. And a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. A new commandment. That you love one another. That you love one another. John chapter 15 verse 12. That you love one another. I am giving you a law. Love one another. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Love one another. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, all the way to verse 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Fire. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, he just nailed it. If a man say, I love God, and he hates his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he claim to love a God he has not seen? That's the nail on it. Love. Philippians chapter 2 verse 2 to 4. And he said, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife for vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Somebody say amen. How can you claim to love God and you hate his child? You hate his child. How can you? You come to church, children of God, you are not greeting them. You carry one person as your topic. Party formation, camp formation. You are my friend. Why are you the friend of that one? Because that one is my enemy. I saw you people talking the other day. What were you talking? Church. Inside church. Since me and this one, we don't talk, and me and you talk, you shouldn't talk to him. There are human beings like that. What is that? There are people, if service end now, greet each other, they can't greet. Even in the middle, say, walk to five people and say, congratulations, congratulations. Congratulations, congratulations. It has to turn because he just came across his enemy. And what is the matter? He parked in my parking space. I asked him to stop for me. The other day, he refused. Somebody's talking of chair now. I put something on my chair, remove it. What shall it profit a man if you gain the chair and lose your soul? What shall it profit a man if you gain the chair and lose your soul? It is not possible to claim to be a Christian if you don't love people. I am talking right now. As this service is over, look for that brother and that sister and say, please, I am sorry. There is no need for this contention. There is no need for this heat. You are my brother. You are my sister. Look for that brother. Look for that sister. You don't make permanent enemies inside a temporary vehicle. You and somebody enter the vehicle. And then for one reason or the other, you became enemies. And the vehicle will soon drop you and drop you. Am I communicating? Let us be real. Let life be real. Let spirituality be real. Somebody say a loud amen. You are fasting, you are praying, you are doing all the other things, but you don't love people. You don't love the children of God. You don't love God's family. It is plus one minus one. In fact, the love factor can take a person to hell straight when it is absent. In our medical school in those days, there's examination they call multiple choice question. Multiple choice question. Let me give you an example. The heart is an abdominal organ, true or false. It's a thoracic organ, true or false. The heart is responsible for taking in oxygen and bringing out carbon dioxide. So they will give you questions that are, some are true, some are false about that heart. Alright? If it is true and you mark true, you get one mark. If it is false and you say it is true, you have minus one. You have lost, you lose, they subtract one mark. Yes. That's how we're trained. You are trained so that if you don't know it, don't touch it. So you don't guess when you are treating people. Alright? By the time you finish the exam, at times you might have minus 20. Minus, that is, you are owing marks. That is, you are already owing some marks. They have to look for where to take that mark. Maybe from your essay. I am saying that because you have done the fasting, you have done the evangelism, but you are not loving people. At the end, you may be owing some marks. Heaven says, you passed here, but you failed here plenty. And that failure passed every success you recorded anywhere else. It is a new day. It is a new day. If there is anything I want you to take serious, it is love. And husband and wife, you have a problem with somebody. It is not everything you tell your husband or your wife about, I have problem with this person. You know the reason why? Because your wife may take it to the next level. Or your husband. Or you have forgiven, but madam is still trying to recover. Did you understand what I'm saying? And vice versa. You have forgiven. Or she has forgiven. But he hasn't forgiven. You don't report everything. There are things you just finish between you and God. Life is too short to use it to make enemies. Let us use that life to make progress. I spare my wife so many things. So many things. Too much information. I spare her. At times, somebody say, oh, I discussed with daddy so and so thing. I'm sure he has informed me. Oh, no. If you want me to know, tell me yourself. Of what use is it pouring venom? What is paining you can't handle if you transfer it to another person? That is, you multiply the pain. Somebody say a loud amen. Lift up your right and say, Father, I receive your grace to do well. Now please take your seat. Let's go through the points, and then I will just mention the one we are to deal in the second service, because all the 14 points are important. Number one measure of our dedication is personal devotional life in prayer and study of the word. I'd like you to read it with me. One, two, go. Personal, start from the beginning. Devotional life of prayer and word study, number two. A God-glorifying, God-pleasing lifestyle, number three. Soul-winning lifestyle, number four. Prayer for the shepherd, number five. Passion for the house of the Lord, number six. The lifestyle of giving, number seven. Love for the brethren. I'd like you to take the following for the next service, just to have it as a point. But when we are done, pick up the message for the second service. So that number 8 now, which will be number 1 for next service, is routine consecrational fasting. Routine consecrational. We'll look at it when the Bible says, when thou fastest. So, it's not a matter of if, it's when. Routine consecrational fast. Number 9 now is kingdom representation existence. You live as a representative of heaven anywhere you are found. You don't live for yourself, you live for heaven. Kingdom representation existence. 10 is soul winning stroke revival intercession. As a dedicated child of God, you pray for souls. You pray for the move of God in your generation. You pray for the kingdom of God to prosper. Number 11, prayer for the brethren. For the brethren. It's part of your schedule to pray for the brethren. Number 12, service in the house. You are not an executive Christian. The chairs are arranged. You don't know how they were arranged. Things are happening now. You are not concerned. You just only come, sit in church, carry your bag, dress well, and go back home. No. Service in the house. Number 13 is the lifestyle of sacrifice. Giving is just baseline. But you move beyond giving to sacrifice. When the needs arise. When there is a need for that to happen. And number 14 is love and care for the needy. Like I said, we'll go into details in these ones in the second service. For the needy. Dedicated people care for needy people the way Jehovah cares for them. We'll look at all of that. Please ensure that your checklist, you take it yourself. How am I faring? Do I care for people in need? Do I ever pray for the kingdom, or I only pray for money and pray for job and pray for house? You check the list yourself, and the Lord shall help us. Stand up on your feet. This is the first time in the history of this church, to my notice, that we have gone on a list like this. We have mentioned measures of dedication before, but we have not exceeded highest 5. The Lord showed me this in detail. The meaning of it is, we are to take our relationship with God to the next level. Lift up your hands everywhere you are. Appreciate God for His word to us today. Father, thank you. Lord, prepare me a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. I'll be alive. Thank you. Draw.
than truth. Ooh. We thank thee. Sanctuary. Thank you
for you.
For you.
Lift your voice and sing, Lord, prepare me.
Lord, prepare to be a sanctuary. You're unholy. You're unholy.
Lift up your hands everywhere you are and make demands on grace for dedication. Make demands on the fresh mantle of God for dedication. You are going to lift your voice and say after me, say, Father, I am so, so, so excited because a word like this, every one of us all across the world receiving it together. Receiving these words together. The devil is in trouble. Lift your hands and your voice and say, Father.
Father.
Say it louder. Say, Father.
Father.
In the name of Jesus.
Name of Jesus,
I ask you today, for a fresh mantle.
For a fresh mantle.
Fresh grace.
Fresh grace.
Fresh mercy.
Fresh mercy.
For a dedicated life.
Help me, Lord,
not to fail in all the parameters of my
dedication
to God.
I receive
the grace
for
effectual commitment
and
dedication
to God.
I receive
that grace
now. Open your mouth and pray and receive. Precious name. You believe God has done something for us? Say loud, amen. I feel a leading to do a little card with these points as your dedication checklist.
Wow.
Because most times we hear a preaching, it's on fire. But after a while, it is overwhelmed with other things and you are forgotten. Maybe it's like a little Bible divider, something.
Yes.
Just something slim. You just take it on. Just take a look at it. How is my love walk, my love life? How is my giving? How is my sacrifice? How is my evangelism? In addition to that, we'll do a kingdom advancement prayer line, prayer points. When we say pray for the pastor, when we say pray for the brethren, when we say pray for this and that, what specific prayer do I pray? Lined up, distributed to everybody. Anybody excited about that?
Yes.
All across board. So you have it. So while you are doing your personal devotion, you have the prayer points to pray. Praying for souls. When we say pray for the brethren, you can imagine you praying and say, Lord, everyone under this cover, deliver them from the spirit of death, sudden strange disease. You are praying for him. He is praying for you. Everybody is praying for everybody. If our printers are able to work, it can be ready for next Sunday.
Yes, sir.
Since it's also a blessing Sunday, so that it can be distributed all across everywhere. So you have your checklist. I will check this and check that just to be sure that I am on course. I am representing God well. I am glorifying God in my office with my life. And so on and so forth. And then, since I have to pray for the brethren, I am not guessing what prayer to pray. This is a specific prayer point. For revival, for evangelism, for the pastor and so on, this is specific prayer to pray. Isn't that very exciting?
Yes, sir.
This year, the devil is in trouble. Amen. Give the Lord a big clap and a louder shout of praise. Give the Lord a bigger clap and a louder shout of praise. Lift your hands everywhere you are. And in a few minutes, I'm giving an altar call for those who are saying, Pastor, I want to make my ways right with Jesus. I want today to be a new day in my life. I want to go forward ever, backward never. I want Jesus to change my life and my story. Pray the prayer after me where you are and say, after me and say, Lord Jesus. Pray it louder. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of your help. Come into my life and make me a new person. Today I have decided to follow you, Lord. No turning back. From today, I go forward ever, backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Somebody shout the loudest amen. You pray that prayer, carry your Bibles and bars, and come forward quickly. While they are doing so, communion also take position. Celebrations as they come forward. Carry your Bibles and your bags. Come and surrender your life to Jesus as well as we distribute the communion very, very fast. Supposed to be a Christian, but I am tied down by a lifestyle of smoking, of drinking, of prostitution, of masturbation, the lifestyle of lying, the lifestyle of cheating, gambling, whatever it is that has tied down your life, I'd like you to rush to the frontier. And you just heard about dedication now. You say, I've not been truly dedicated to God. I want to rededicate my life to God. Quickly, rush to the frontier and let us pray for you. Rush to the frontier. Celebrations as they come forward. I'll give you the count of 10. 1.
We are going higher.
2.
We are going higher.
Your right hand on your chest and pray after me and say, Lord Jesus, I receive your help to live for you. Forgive me my sins. Today, I have decided to follow you. No turning back. Forward ever, backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. The hold of sin is broken off your life. Grace to live for God is released upon you in Jesus' name. Amen.